Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron. Now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Hey everybody, Merry Meet, and welcome to Stirring the Cauldron here on Para-X Radio. Tonight we're going to be talking to author Michael Elejon about his book, co-authored by Aurora Light, called Prepare for the Landings. Michael is a direct voice channel and ET contactee. He was trained in the Edgar Cayce method of channeling at a young age, which opened up his telepathic abilities. And throughout the years, he's had numerous etheric visitations from human-appearing higher-dimensional beings of light. He recently appeared on Coast to Coast with George Norrie, where he spoke about ET communications, encounters, and interventions. He described going on board a spaceship more than once, and at one point was told that he would have contacts with a being named Ashtar, who he later channeled. Contacts with benign human-appearing ETs, such as what he and other contactees like Billy Meyer have experienced, have been suppressed or debunked in favor of stories of the sinister gray aliens and abductions. And for those of you who are regular listeners to the show, you might remember an interview I did last year with producer Michael Horn, who was the American representative for Billy Meyer, and he spoke of these same beings, the benign human ETs that he referred to as the Plejarans or Plejarans. Michael's book takes readers on a fascinating journey, revealing what's in store for those of us presently residing here on Earth, and we'll be talking about his personal experiences as well as the true divine plan that is unfolding, and the guidance that is being offered to those who choose to listen. If any of you have any questions for Michael, please send me a private message. And now, please join me in welcoming Michael Elejon. Hi, Michael, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Glad you're here. This is all kind of fascinating, and the subject of ETs is fascinating to begin with. But as I mentioned a minute ago, lately all we've been hearing about is the scary stuff about the gray aliens, the abductions, how we're all going to be rounded up and become the main ingredient in alien stew, except for the blue-eyed ones, of course. We hear about the ancient prophecy of the end times, December 2012, and the list goes on. But you, Billy Meyer, and I suspect many others have had more positive encounters. And that's good to hear because, you know, after a while, the doom and gloom gets rather tiresome. So I'd really like to start out by hearing about the encounter that you had when you were 6 years old on the pier in Oceanside.
Well, yeah, that was actually, like many other experiences, written into my life script that I was going to have reconnect contact with beings I had known prior to this life. These particular group of beings, in fact, they share in my book, Prepare for the Landings. You can go to prepareforthelandings.com, and you can actually download the book as an e-book or order a paperback copy, but which I kind of refer to as the boarding pass, because the book does give a conscious overall view of why the Federation of Light specifically is going to be intervening on a more open level very, very soon. And but for me, from the time I was born, I wasn't born with all the cosmic amnesia veils over my mind. So this experience I had in 1959 at 6 years of age was all not only going to happen, but it was a very important for a couple purposes, is that it not only verified the memories I brought with me, and also it verified the promise of protection, that we who are contacting these channels, who have had, are having contact with the very beings that we knew prior to coming down in the human embodiment. I actually remember leaving my immortal light body in storage, as I would refer to it, beaming into my mother's womb. Now, I know that sounds really bizarre to some people, but I was born in the normal way, but I remember coming into a few minutes before I was physically born. And so when I had contact with these beings, the being known as Orion, now, you know, and who are the Greek and Roman gods and goddesses, and, you know, many of them are actually the demigods and goddesses. We're the descendants of these beings, who later were called angels in the biblical times. Yeah, human appearing, benevolent ETs, Elohim, and this is actually the group of entities that are major members of the Federation of Light. But anyway, I was one moment walking along the Oceanside Pier and decided to get up onto the railing, which, you know, I found out years later that a lot of the kids used to challenge each other, kind of like a bonding, you know, to challenge each other, can you get up and do this little dangerous balancing act? And, of course, at 6 years, I decided to get involved in it, too, somehow. And as I say, I guess I thought it was cute, and so my foot slipped off the side, and next moment of terror, I mean, I'm falling off the pier, and that, you know, 40-foot fall is like a 100-foot fall. One moment I'm falling, though, this horrendous terror, next moment, boom, they had physically taken me, I beamed me up, aboard the craft, the very ship, one of the ships I remember being in prior to coming into human embodiment. Now, these beings, though they were dressed in silver blue metallic suits, they could have dressed in earth clothes, you would have thought they were the average good-looking person down here. But to me, it was the love, it was the incredible sense of remembering knowing them, and that they were there intervening because of this fall off the pier. I didn't intend to get myself in that state, but nevertheless, they were there to intervene. It wasn't that I was lucky, but in cases where extreme trauma, as in this case, you know, we tend to shut down sometimes, psychologically, physiologically. So they were there to the consciousness system on the ships, and I needed some help to overcome this extreme traumatic nature of my fall. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so there was a point, and I can't see how long it was there. All I know, it wasn't as long as I was hoping, but it was, I often say to people, and they ask me, what was it like? What was the sensations, everything being there? And I say, well, imagine the time when you're meditating and you're in this really incredibly blissful state. Multiply that about 1,000 times. Comes slightly close to the incredible feeling of nirvana, of unconditional love that these beings were projecting to me. And I had this thing, in fact, that merged out from the wall on this long kind of cable, and they were projecting all these beautiful colors at me. Now, I later realized, of course, that what they were doing is realigning my chakras, because the chakras usually get out of alignment pretty quick in a traumatic experience like falling off the pier like that. Mm-hmm. So they didn't take it all away. They took most of it away, and you were kind of like saying, you know, you've got to be responsible. You know, you can't get into dangerous places. But the point of this whole thing is that being Orion, who was connected with a group called the Jerusalem Command, which Dr. Hertek talks about in the Book of Knowledge, Keys of Enoch, is one of the major groups in the Federation that is going to be involved in divine intervention world evacuation. And while I'm on the ship, Orion is telling me, and telepathically reminding me about that there would become that time when the Federation Light would intervene, and verifying what I had remembered being in the council, coming before I came down here, that all of us who are volunteers in Earth Embodiment were discussing very openly. In fact, if you go to the other website, channelforthemasters.com, you'll see the NASA Star People characteristic list. And I invite your listeners to check that out, because I think most of you will probably recognize at least several to a third. Some of us have more like me, but I have almost everyone on the list because I came in without all the veils over my mind, so I retained physiologically more of this awareness. But anyway, Ryan tells me that I'm going to come in contact with the being Ashtar, an old friend of ours, Lord Ashtar, Commander Ashtar, in charge of the Ashtar Command. And it's interesting because, jumping ahead a little bit, and 3 years later, as I'm sitting in front of the TV watching President Kennedy's news conference on the Cuban Missile Crisis, Ashtar pops into the room. Now, he's etherically standing there. To me, he looked as real or more real than some of the mundane humans I saw walking around. And his first words to me telepathically were, "We're not going to allow nuclear war because it's against Federation policy." And that was like, oh, great, wow, cool. And I mean, it didn't surprise me too much, but to hear it again, to have him specifically tell me. And he also told me how they were starting to come down over military bases, shutting down their high-tech equipment, you know, shutting down missile silos. Now, of course, in recent years, we have all these ex-retired military people talking about this very thing, how there are UFOs coming down on military bases and shutting down their equipment. Mm-hmm. But in my bringing up, of course, was direct connected with my Earth parents who were in followers of Edgar Cayce, and as you mentioned about, you know, Cayce, I was trained as a channel initially through the Edgar Cayce method of channeling, and later I went on to do a more transformational form of channeling, which I also do over the phone with everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, sorry. so let me backtrack just a teeny-weeny bit. So you are actually one of the light beings, how do I say it, reincarnated?
Well, I would say about 25% of the world's population, probably including yourself, is a volunteer in Earth Embodiment. If you look at that list, that, when I was taken aboard the second time in 1979, under the very life-threatening situation again, when the cabal, called the Psychops, Psychic Assassination Remote Viewers, targeted me and actually killed me, you know, I woke up on the ship, the Merkaba ship again, with them putting the life force back into me, and these beautiful human-appearing ETs dressed in blue metallic suits, and they were all looking over me, and later on I connected with the being Corton, who is a communications specialist in the Ashtar Command, an old friend I had known at other times, and he told me, he said that from now on, unlike the old karmic Edgar Cayce type of readings where people had certain were getting off the wheel of karma, and he said, from now on, this was on March 25th of 79, he said, from now on, the people you will be doing sessions for will be just like yourself. They'll come on missions in Earth Embodiment. He said, you're going to come up on a list of characteristics. And when you see this list, this is a physiological reference point to help identify others like yourself, because you bring energy with you. It affects your DNA, RNA, genetic code. And you take on, depending on how much you've been able to retain, a certain percentage of this list. And for me, when I first saw the list 2 months later, in the old East-West Journal, an old metaphysical holistic publication, and I saw the list, and I go, oh, my God, I have almost everyone on the list, because with memory, conscious memory, I had retained more of this. But I invite your readers, your listeners, again, to go there and take a look at it. It's also in the book, Prepare for the Landings. And it is a real good reference point for people to get and understand that they are here and uniquely having manifested certain characteristics because of that higher energy.
Mm-hmm. You know, let's talk a little bit first about the defining of the term light beings or beings of light.
Well, that term is, that is a term I use a lot, but it also refers to that these beings who have an immortal light physical body, I mean, they can materialize here like Earth Ascended Masters, and they could shake their hand and embrace them. But they're of a higher density, and they can materialize, lower their frequency, and be on the term third-dimensional level. But I don't like doing that too much, because it's like us going and jumping into a sewer, kind of. Because the energies here it's like are really negative thought forms and negative energies that have controlled this planet for a long time. Of course, that's about to change now, because the energy hitting the planet, a powerful cosmic frequency that's never been here before, is sweeping over Mother Earth and impacting everything. And also is going to force accountability on the ball while helping the light workers, helping those of us on missions here. But these beings have a higher density body, being all an immortal body, an ascended body, that is still physical in those higher dimensions. And mm-hmm. so when they come here and materialize, they are physical, we can touch them, but they rather hang out on the higher dimensions, the thought mm-hmm. forms and conditions that Mother Earth has had to put up for a while, but that's going to change here very quickly with divine intervention coming up.
Right, and we are going to get to that a little bit later. I think we're going to do a little basic 101 kind of stuff right now. Now, I listened to a couple of interviews you did, the one with George Noory and uh-huh. another one, and you mentioned that we all channel the light forces but just don't know how to interpret it or even know that we are doing it.
Yeah, we're all channeling life force. It's learning to interpret the signals. And the Federation of Light is constantly broadcasting various messages and information over the Earth for us to pick up. First, we have to be discerning, too, because one of the things that Ashtar, who comes through me a lot, emphasizes is the need for us to be discerning and use our what is termed cognitive deductive reasoning, what the gold ray of the threefold flame, as it's called, because the Illuminati, the Cabal, has been, for the last 20, 25 years, actually broadcasting false messages sometimes, supposedly from Ashtar and different ones, but it's really not from them, and trying to put the truth mixed with lies to confuse people. I mean, there's a lot of good channels out there. There's more opening up. But I think it's very important that we take personal responsibility, and I say this all the time. I give God, divine creation, and the spiritual hierarchy most of the credit. I try to keep myself as a clear channel for whatever they want to bring through. So I have a pretty strict diet I adhere to. I'm a semi-vegetarian. I do eat a little bit of, a certain animal product sometimes, as long as they're organic, as a kind of a grounder, but I probably eat 80% raw food, and mm-hmm. I use certain natural supplements and things to, keep my immune system strong, keep my energy health, so high. I do mm-hmm. things like color meditations in the morning, and where I do a more active form to kind of blow up the lions, clear the energies, balance my chakras, and then I sit more passively to receive if there's going to be some downloads. And I also wear a very powerful rainbow crystal pendant that's specifically designed for the light workers to raise and amplify my auric field. I do a lot of things to keep myself in a healthy, alert state because, the dark alchemists want to throw all these genetically modified foods at us that are, which can create genetic disease, and then we have a lot of other things happening too, part of the human genocide programs that the dark forces have been trying to, wipe out two-thirds of humanity. So we have a lot of help right now, but we have to also take personal responsibility and keep our body, our temple, to me it's mm-hmm. a temple, rather than mm-hmm. treating it like a cesspool.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, basic common sense anyway. That
it should be.
A lot of people don't follow.
Right.
So that's not a bad thing. Now, I mentioned earlier, and you did too, about your channeling with Lord Ashtar. Now, I've heard about Ashtar Command before. Mm-hmm. Lord Ashtar is described as a higher interdimensional being in charge of Ashtar Command that oversees the volunteers in Earth's embodiment missions. Now,
right.
For those who haven't heard of Ashtar Command, can you give us a quick kind of overview?
Yeah, the Ashtar Command is one, like the Jerusalem Command. There are actually many commands in the Federation of Light. The Ashtar Command, which Ashtar kind of helped form many ages ago, working with Archangel Michael, was one of the major commands that stopped. It went after the term Luciferian Rebellion happened. If you read the Urantia book, it kind of gives what became part of certain religious beliefs, but it was actually galactic war. Even the Ramana, Bhagavad Gita, talks about these wars in heaven. And a group that decided, and it wasn't that they questioned, they started to attack other systems. And I have a lot of memory of these Luciferian draconian entities who started attacking systems and trying to force their will on others. And anyway, so they formed the Federation of Light, specifically because we respect the sovereignty of other worlds, and there were God's divine creative laws, that, knowing that all planets are alive entities, actually. And so there's been a lot of manipulation of the energies of creation by these group called the Draconians. So there were guardians formed the Federation of Light, specifically restore order to the universe, and there was a reference in the biblical sense of the sons of light fought the sons of darkness, meaning that there were those of us who were guardians that vowed that we would uphold divine creation. But the thing with Earth was, because Earth was a karmic training school, where the less advanced souls referred to as the laggards would have a place to progress and evolve, it begins a great cosmic cycle. And that was going okay because I remember coming in with the fleet to actually genetically seed Earth human in the likeness of Elohim beings on Earth. And unfortunately, later the Draconians came in and shut down 10 of the original 12 strands to enslave us, to basically make us unable to be the powerful, magnificent beings that we were meant to be. Power being constantly harp on how powerful we actually are. And one of the reasons they do these transformational channeled readings is because when the different beings like Ashtar and with the women, there's always some goddess, commandress, lady of light coming through, you know, equal time for the goddess, giving a more feminine side of things. But when they're speaking through me, they actually have an energy beam on me, which they're downloading these higher light encodements. This is from the Elohim Consciousness Technologies. The people get these sessions, and when you play the tape back, it is designed, depending on how much we rise to the occasion and embrace our potential, these encodements are really powerful at activating our DNA RNA and helping us really start to reactivate our DNA RNA abilities and, you know, really transform our lives. So they really don't want to force help on us, but they want to be the cosmic backup team and help us wake up now and get ready for the big moment coming up here soon when they openly come down. So that's a service I'm very passionate about. A cosmic telephone line and helping them, you know, brown this beam of energy on the people. I do the readings long distance over the phone all the time. Since the coast to coast show, I've been inundated with requests for these sessions because people sense know that this is going to be a turning point in their life. And I just try to keep myself as a clear channel for this work to help activate everybody. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really incredibly interesting time. So there's a lot of releasing of imbalanced forces right now off the planet, because Mother Earth is raising her frequency, and it's really a time to reclaim our sovereignty and bring back the sacred principles of divine creation.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's some confusion between interdimensional beings and ETs. Some think they're one and the same, others disagree. Can you clarify that?
Well, I'd say they're one and the same. I think terminology and semantics can sometimes create some difficulties and language barriers and
yeah, in everyday life, yeah.
Right, and to me, whether we call them universal beings of light, extraterrestrial, sovereign beings, but the word alien I don't really like because it kind of refers more to the grays and reptilians. And let's put it this way, the bad apple in the cosmic barrel has been getting all the publicity. the aliens your mother warned you about, kind of, okay. But the human-appearing beings, the benevolent ones, the men are handsome, the women are goddesses, they fly around in beautiful crystal temples, they live up to ethical standards that our Earth politicians, bureaucrats can't live up to. And then we have the ugly-looking grays who do weird things, stick things in people's body. Well, who would you choose? Well, gee, that's a pretty simple choice. And I wonder why the most of the UFO community, and I don't mean to place judgment, but my opinion is not all of them, but the majority of the UFO so-called experts in the last 30, 40 years have been psychop agents whose job, coming right out of covert agencies, who were recruited overnight to be the conservative professional UFO investigators. I mean, the Billy Myers case was probably the most example of the bias. I mean, I know Jim Del Toso, Wendell Stevens were very supportive. I mean, in fact, he used to bring people for me to do channeling for, verifying things he got to verification in his investigations. And Wendell was willing to look at both contact and abduction cases. And after Jim Del Toso authenticated the Billy Myers case, all the photographs, computer analyzed with top NASA equipment, Jim designed components and special techniques to verify those photos in 8mm film. Marcel Vogel, IBM Research Laboratory, analyzed the crystal metal samples that Billy Myers brought back and said we can't develop this on can't duplicate this on Earth levels of technology. Now, of course, that was 30 years ago. We probably could do it today with black ops stuff. And then sounds of the ship while it was hovering, and sound banks, they said, could not reproduce, except there was a Schumann resonance verifying that Billy Myers said the ships were right in the magnetic field. Yet MUFON and a lot of these so-called professional investigators debunked it. I think if it had been an abduction case, they have, with the same evidence, they would have been yelling from the rooftops to get the information out.
Well, yeah, I mean, the bad guys always get the most attention. The squeaky wheels get the grease, right?
And yeah, they want us to be caught up in fear. And like, if mysterious lights in the sky, that's authentic. Or some weird abduction case, that's authentic. But something beautiful, uplifting, empowering, or photos up close, oh, no, that's all fraud, that's all hoax. That has been always their agenda, every single time.
Well, you know, just in listening to this, okay, so we have the light beings, the good guys, uh-huh. for lack of a better term.
Right.
Sounds like they're always kind of standing in the background.
Well, no, they're not standing in the background. It's the UFO community has played a disservice of emphasizing and stuffing the grays down our throats, the fun little bad apples, and not that there haven't been millions of abductions, but you see, because the government made a deal with the Greys back in the 1950s, after the Federation of Light landed at Edwards Air Force Base, February 20th, 1954, and that was officially where Eisenhower was. Officially, no, he was supposed to get the dentist getting a tooth cap taken care of, but he was at Edwards Air Force Base, actually, when three ships landed on the tarmac. Edwards, the Federation Light beings, they stepped out on the tarmac, met with Eisenhower and as many of his advisors who happened to have ties with the power elite. And Ashtar told me, in fact, he said, I knew they were going to turn us down, but we had to go through Galactic Protocol, offering humanity technology that would have transformed the planet. Yes, they were willing to do a couple things, relinquish the thermonuclear warheads as a gesture of peace, and let everybody know what the options were. Well, we know the rest of the story. They weren't willing to abide by those requirements. And they said to him, okay, we're not going to force up on you because that's not our style, but we want to warn you about another group orbiting at the equator. And, in fact, one of the reasons that a man known as Bill Cooper was blacklisted so heavily in the UFO community is because he, you know, exposed this fact that the human-appearing ETs attempted diplomatic relations first before the Greys came in. I think that was Holloman Air Force Base where they landed. And the agreement was they would allow people to be abducted in exchange for technology, turning down the benevolent group. This is just like the fascist cabal that's been in power for a long time. But guess what? Things are about to shift for the cabal. Because Ashtar has told me the Federation has come down a number of times invisibly in the Illuminati boardrooms, listened to their nasty plans, and said, okay, that's your plan? Well, guess what? We're not going to let you fulfill your human genocide program like you have been attempting to do up to now. So things are about to go against the cabal very quickly here. As the energy builds up on the planet, they're about to be kicked to the curb. But they would desperately like to hold on to their power, and they would like to convince the rest of us that they're going to do that. But the time is very short for them. As people wake up, like a sleeping giant, this awakening is giving the Federation of Light mandated authority to step in now, and more openly, overtly very soon, as they lift the planetary quarantine, to come in here openly and help in a more direct way.
Okay, we're going to be talking about that too in a minute, but I've got a question from the chat room because we're talking about grays. And Karen would like to know, are there more than just blue and gray aliens?
Well, there's, as I said, there's probably 55, well, according to military intelligence, which is kind of an oxymoron term, really, but and covert agencies, they say there's at least 55 human-appearing types. They all look very similar but slightly different. Most of them could pass through the streets of Earth. You wouldn't know they were an E.T. I met a few of them incognito down here also, besides the ones I met aboard the ship. And then we have the Greys and a few other, you know, strange types. I mean, not because something that looks different makes them negative, but there's been a tendency for the, many of the gray types to take advantage of human vulnerabilities, try to get, you know, genetic material. The gray, the human-appearing ones, on the other hand, as, you know, part of the Federation, are very much opposed to anyone being manipulated against their will, but are coming here to help us get our trip together and have people wake up. When we realize that we don't have to be victims, whether it be fascist governments or negative alien and renegades like the Greys, that it's a cosmic civil rights violation case, if you think about the concept, we have a right to be sovereign beings. Ashtar all the time says it doesn't matter whether it's human, galactic, interdimensional. No being has the right to force its will on another being. And but now, because Mother Earth is at a point of needing outside help, because there's a lot of us whose missions are to, you know, to have this, be part of this intervention, as to, you know, to officially lift the planetary quarantine, that we can be part of the galactic community as a member of the Federation rather than being a karmic training school, it is mandated to occur here shortly. The only question is the exact time behind it. I don't know exactly when, but I think we're getting very close to it. I think it could be the next 2 years, as the end of 2012 gets us into a new time, you know, frequency. I think we're actually experiencing a new timeline right now compared to the old timeline that was a lot more destructive. And so I think we're going to be experiencing some interesting, not only open intervention, as my book, Prepare for the Landings, at prepareforthelandings.com, really gives you an overall view. My transformational channel readings give you more of an individual part that you play in this bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I've repeatedly heard, and I could be wrong, that the Illuminati are in control of our planet.
I would like to rephrase that to say they have been, past tense. And that's any time we think of negative things, quote-unquote, we don't ignore it, but we don't give it more power. We just kind of put in the position of recognizing functionally rather than dysfunctionally. Okay, they've been there, but guess what? They've been warned now. If they don't come around to the light, they're about to be recycled to the Godhead. That's their choice. Do they want to work for the sovereignty of the people and uphold the sacred principles that heal Earth? Are they going to all end up like the proverbial Titanic, go down? That's their choice. They tried to off me a lot of times, and I'm still here. So knowing that, they've lost their touch, so to speak, and more light workers are waking up, and it's a huge wake-up call, and the Federation Light's responding to that those calls, and we're getting some outside help right now that our world leaders never wanted to help us.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's the thing. I kept hearing, like, and forgive me for being not totally up on this. I'm just kind of filtering things as I go. But I've been told that the Illuminati are people like George Bush, the royal family in England.
Right. And they're reptilians, actually, like David Icke talked about. Not that I agree with everything, but I think most of what he says is pretty right on. In fact, when they buried the, it was the older female royal member, they had to build a, it was just like several years ago, they had to build a longer coffin. So I was like, when they shapeshift back into reptilians, they get a little taller and bigger.
That's exactly kind of like this Doctor Who episode that I watched.
Mm-hmm. Well, truth comes true in a fictional, are presented in fictional ways a lot of times through Hollywood. Like time travel, for example, that's a very fascinating topic. Andrew Bershargo, somebody I've interviewed on my show, The Cosmic Connection, that it's archived at vortexnetworknews.com. I interviewed him. He was actually part of the Project Pegasus, Montauk, classified project of traveling through time as a child. There's an actual photograph of him taken in 1863, and right before Lincoln did his Gettysburg Address, when he was sent through time. And he says that some of the movies that have come out, like Time Traveler's Wife, where he would lose his clothes, hats and shoes, literally, and then the two movies, Timeline and Deja Vu, actually show equipment very similar to some of the equipment that they used in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Very fascinating.
Yeah. All right, now let's jump ahead just a little bit. That you're talking about the forces that are there to help save our planet, you know,
right.
the light.
Which are in guardian action. Millions of ships in guardian action around the planet. In fact, if you look through night vision goggles, you can see battles going on between the Federation and the Cabal anti-gravity ships, where they're actually ordering Cabal sending up their black ops to try, act like the Federation's here invading the planet, which is ridiculous. And finally put a psych op on it. And what's happening is you can watch ships being blown up. It's always one-sided, though, because the Cabal's like Keystone Cops. They have particle beams on their ships, and they fire on the Federation ship. It bounces back and blows itself up. Now, split seconds before the ship blows up, they beam the Black Ops off their anti-gravity onto the Federation ships. This is kind of an interesting scenario going on right now. And there's a huge recruiting program that's allowing these former Black Ops to become White Ops, where they are realizing once they got up there that they've been working for the wrong side, against the will of the people, and for the Cabal, who cares nothing but to use them and then spit them out later, which is usually the case. And they meet former Air Force officers of the more traditional Air Force that were supposedly crashed with their jets when they were ordered to chase and firing, but they didn't crash, actually, with the jets. They were stayed on board the light ship when they were beamed on board, decided to stay up there because if they were sent back, they'd be prisoners of conscience to their own country. And, you know, the military wouldn't lie to us, would they? They wouldn't have told the mother, the family, that they recovered a mutilated body. And there's no body, of course, there's no body in the coffin at the memorial service, but who would believe they'd be lying to them?
It's all quite fascinating, to be able to think that we could actually see these things, that this is going on, and... You know, we are kind of a cynical race, and so I think my question is, when we're talking about the ones that are out to save our planet...
They're here to help us help ourselves. It's not that they're doing it, you know, where we're just going to sit back and do nothing. We are here. We are the ground crew. We're the cleanup crew. We're the cosmic backup team. And I've always known that if it's up to us to help them, give them mandated authority. But isn't it wonderful to have beings coming here whose only desire is to help us? There's no ulterior motives like the Greys wanting to take genetic material or the reptilians who tried to invade the planet a few times. They're here because we're part of their extended cosmic family. They are our, you know, cosmic brothers and sisters and parents and beings who care about us. You know, when you look at how so much of the dysfunctional patterns, one of the beings I've been channeling for years is Voltra, who's a cosmic psychotherapist. And Earth is the most dysfunctional planet in the entire universe. And we need good cosmic psychotherapy. And when I do these channelings, Astor often refers to Voltra because he's standing by to give psychological analysis, and he says, I'm available 24/7. You don't have to lay in the psychiatrist's couch. And he's there to help us really work through a lot of our stuff. It's all coming up to be released at the ends of all these cycles right now. So we have a lot of wonderful beings who have a lot of abilities and capacities. They're millions of years beyond Earth. But they say all the time, they say, when ufologists try to compare humans with ants, is any kind of comparison to them, it's really so shallow. And, you know, a being that is millions of years ahead of Earth, but they can come down, sit with us, embrace us as brothers and sisters, that their technology is the level of their love and their compassion. And all they care about is helping us get our trip together, making sure Earth isn't destroyed, helping us evolve into the next shift of consciousness. And what's very exciting, in the last 2 months, not only are there new cosmic frequencies hitting the Earth that have never been here before, Ashtar has said that there's new Elohim consciousness technologies that just came online that didn't exist before, that instead of it taking ages and lifetimes, or many of the term laggards who've been on the wheel of karma, say two-thirds of humanity, to get off, it's going to literally be a matter of a few months to a few years. That's how fast this shift is going to be in the new timeline, because it's my understanding that there is a group of us whose oversoul future self, it's like a form of consciousness time travel. It's merged into the past-present timeline, and we're changing the entire outcome. So then instead of only a third making it through, I say at least two-thirds to three-quarters are going to make it through and not even have to go through so much trauma.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit more about that, but I do have a question from the chat room from Dinah. She's wondering, why won't they allow us to see them?
Now, who's they?
That's a very good question, Dinah. If you want to throw that in, I've got one eye on the chat room.
Because they could be, the government, or they meaning our friends off the planet. Now, if you're referring to the government not wanting us to be aware of, that's one thing, but higher forces are constantly, if you look up in the night sky, I would say that as long as there isn't the old chemtrail, nasty harp manipulation of the atmosphere going on, which tends to happen a lot, because the cabal's getting really freaked out and desperate to try to poison all of us, but sometimes cloud cover can get in the way, these artificial clouds that they create. But the higher forces are constantly. Sometimes I'll see what looks like, and they bring this in the channeling all the time, what looks like bright, colorful stars flickering in the atmosphere, if you know where the position of stars and planets are. And then an hour or two later, they're not there. Well, stars don't move around the sky that way. A lot of the people out there, I'm sure, have seen this. It's gone suddenly. Well, the rainbow ships, the temple ships, the Merkaba, can move around quite a bit. Or if we see in the daytime, even sometimes at night, these saucer-shaped lenticular clouds, where there's actually a ship in the physical or etheric, and they've ionized a cloud around them. And I see this a lot around chemtrail activity sometimes, where they're cleaning the sky out. They're intervening. I was told a number of years ago that they were going to be stepping in and mitigating the chemtrail, the cabal manipulation, trying to poison and kill a lot of us. They're counteracting it. I'll see sometimes chemtrails disappear, or the chemtrails are still there, but they are not having the same effect on us. For those who don't know what chemtrails are, if you type into the search engine, most people are becoming aware of it. These are artificial lines across the sky that initially look like contrails, but they don't dissipate in a minute as normal ice particles do. This is petrochemical poisons being screwed up by the cabal. You know, those remote control cabal ships airplanes that just crisscross the sky, going one way and then going the other, and all this weird stuff comes out of the sky. But there's ways to build up our immune system. And this is part of the encodement on the tape, actually. They tell me that part of the encodement, based on these transformational channel readings, are designed to help the immune system. If we will take personal responsibility, that will activate the encodement. But based on how much effort we put forth, will also determine how much help we can receive.
Okay, now I'm going to admit something in a minute, but Dinah just got back and said she was referring to those that are warring in the sky, those in the sky that she's referring to.
Well, you can
see
it, especially if you have a chance, like I have, a look through night vision goggles. You can see battles going on all over the place. It's the cleansing of the heavens that was biblically prophesied, what I call the cosmic riffraff. The cabal anti-gravity ships, or a few of the reptilians that are still up there, most of them have been cleaned out. Mostly it's cabal ships now, anti-gravity ships being sent up to engage, to pretend like these are invading beings when they're here to help us. So there's a spin being put on it, and I also know the cabal's tried to use holographic technology to try to broadcast false images in the sky, and that's been basically neutralized by the Federation, because we've been fooled enough by the false flags of the cabal. There's enough going on, and I'm told that the cabal has been stepping in. So, the Federation has been stepping in to stop what the cabal has been up to, and are desperate right now. So we have to use discernment, cognitive deductive reasoning. But if we really want to know the truth is there, and I think if you look up in the sky, as long as you can see some clear sky, every now and then you'll see the ships crossing the sky. But night vision goggles especially allow you to see a lot more detail as they gear up and get closer to the moment of divine intervention.
Okay, now you mentioned chemtrails, and Don in chat room said that there are chemtrails here all the time. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I was going to bring up the other night. I went out walking the dog about 1 in the morning.
Right.
And saw something that looked just like that, and I stared at it, and it looked like something a skywriter would do.
Mm-hmm. But they're doing them at night a lot of times, thinking that people won't notice them so much. But it's being exposed. I mean, when the moon is out, you can see it glowing right there in the sky. But as I said, if we all in our forces, the more we do that, the more mandated authority they are given. But back a few years ago, when I was living in Sarasota, around 2001, 2002, right after the 2002, 2003, after the false flag of 9/11 that was staged, of course, by the cabal, wherever I'd go, I'd see the chemtrails. And I often thought to myself, is there any square inch of the planet the bastards, the cabal, hasn't polluted? And I had an experience, making a long story short, where a green fireball shot across the sky after they told me they were going to intervene. When I told them, hey, get off your, fannies up there. I want to see some action because it's happening right over my backyard. And so when I was told telepathic, we'd come outside and take a look at the night sky. And as I was stepping out the front door of our home, here comes a big green fireball shooting across the sky. And having studied in UFO history about green fireball sightings, going all the way back to the nuclear testing in New Mexico and Nevada, massive green fireball sightings were seen then. These were the Merkaba light ships taking radiation out of the atmosphere. And I can tell you that had it not been for that, the amount of radiation that we would have experienced would have caused a very overt mutations to our physical bodies. And I'm convinced that some of the propaganda, these anti-drug films that I saw when I was very young about, fetuses being mutated, I think it might have been the drugs. I think a lot of it was radiation mutation that was affecting us. But they stepped in so much that it wasn't as obvious. And so the official version of how much radiation was, of course, manipulated to make it look like there was only so much, but it was higher forces stepping in. Now with the chemtrails, they were telling me they were going to start stepping in, but they referred to my readings, that these encodements on the tape were specifically also to help build up the immune system. Because you see, as each person who receives this light infusion, you impact everyone else. So while those who can get the more direct infusion in this way, it's going to help in a more powerful way, others who may not have that opportunity will still be somewhat impacted by each person who receives the downloading. So it's like dropping a pebble in the pool. The ripple effect will go out, and other people will be subtly somewhat influenced well, but it's still up to us to be responsible, demand to expose these things. I think it's important that we rise up and demand our officials, who won't want to do it, of course. If enough people do it, this will give an even greater, more higher authority for the Federation to take a more overt appearance over our planet soon.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've got a question in chat. They want to know what the readings that you do consist of to prepare people.
Well, primarily, it helps you to get, as I said, the book is more of the collective sense of why they're going to be intervening, all the steps leading up to that. The reading, the personal sense, which is 90 minutes in length, specifically, and the masters always can tell me how much they get frustrated because 90 minutes goes by so short, but they attempt to compress onto the tape information relative to your mission. They usually touch into, out of a certain lifetime, certain ones that are physiologically parallel to upcoming future events. I don't believe the future is preset, but there are some indications with this new timeline played out that by knowing about certain potential situations, you can more easily handle it, you can have better options, and I believe we can change our future many times over, and they keep talking about how powerful we are. So one of the things that they're doing, of course, is besides the conscious information giving insight, is the higher light encodements that they download when the ship is on a higher dimension. They download these higher light encodements, so by playing the tape back, depending on how many times you play it back, it helps to activate your DNAR, it helps to enhance your own natural processes. So it's a transformational experience, but it does give you more of a personal view of coming related to the evacuation waves and what that means for you on a personal level. Mm-hmm. And there's a question-answer period at the end as well.
Okay, now, earlier we were talking a little bit about Earth quarantine and the coming of the Golden Age.
Right.
But there will be some need or, some necessary cleansing in the process.
Yes. I think Mother Earth needs a good facelift every now and then. In fact, there's evidence that we have a planet called Nibiru. Actually, it's our second dwarf star that never ignited. called Nibiru Wormwood Planet X. It's supposed to come by there in about 2 years, supposedly. It's come through every 3,600 years. And I think Mother Earth needs a good facelift to cleanse a lot of that stuff. But I'm told that after the third wave of evacuation, they will probably take away the temporary hold on the magnetic field, let the Earth shift a little bit, cleansing. It'll probably be a few Earth major Earth changes. But in this new timeline that's playing out, a lot of the transition up to that moment will be a little smoother than the original timeline. There was more upheavals and earthquakes and tidal waves and all that stuff that was occurring, plus martial law and the cult of all really playing out a massive human genocide on humanity. But with the new timeline, with more light workers waking up, more of our essence being merged into the present level of reality, we're altering it so that more people will survive and, as I said, don't have to go through so much trauma. So they're doing a series of waves to make sure that, unlike the old emergency evacuation, when it was a one-time deal and they didn't have time to really prepare humanity, with a book being published, with these people who I connect with who get these experiences through this, these channelings, it's grounding more light on the planet in a more powerful, focused way, so that there'll be a little greater chance for everybody on the planet to have a chance to experience it. Not one soul can say, well, I didn't know this was an option. And even people living in a cave will feel a guidance to come outside and look at the night sky. So it'll be pretty obvious, and even though traditionally it was called a rapture, it's not a religious experience, it's a consciousness experience. When two are in the field, suddenly somebody's beamed up, well, it'll be pretty obvious with the ship filling the skies that obviously they are connected with that person disappearing. And I know that we have to be discerning, because I think the cabal, if they're still in power, would try to say it's an invasion going on. I think we need to be discerning, and anything the corporate entities officially tell us, and I think we've all learned over a period of time not to trust too much what they tell us. But I think these beings are determined to give us the best possible option, so we don't just feel like victims to it. We're not victims, but we need to know we've got some support and backup, since our own governments won't protect us and help us. We need some outside help, obviously.
Mm-hmm. So, correct me if I'm wrong, the Earth cleansing has to do with not only the planet itself, but the people on this planet?
Well, all forms of life, I think, desire an opportunity to live in an age, live in a life, live in a state that is more conducive to our well-being, rather than design to take away our quality of life. I think the cabal has had a plan for years to create total havoc, not only economic, destroying everything, but I do think that the Federal Reserve fiat system has got to go, and a better system, as I feel I'm told, is on the horizon coming up. Now, even though I don't hold my breath for it, I've heard about Nassar for many, many years. Whether we call it that or whatever we call it, I am told that there is a system coming into play here very soon that the Federal Reserve will be replaced by, it's more in touch with the sovereignty of humanity, that will be backed with an intrinsic value rather than a fiat phony system that is used to manipulate us and enslave us. I think humanity is ready for this. I think we're tired of being manipulated and resources withheld that could benefit us, that could solve all the problems that we presently are facing. And higher forces have told me they're ready to step in soon and make sure in this new timeline that things technically, if it had not been for their help, we would be in a worse state, a really, really worse state than we presently are. As bad as things are on some levels, it should be many times worse.
Yeah, I was going to say, it couldn't get too much worse because we're kind of in a mess.
Yes.
I've got a question from the chat room again. Nyla wants to know, why won't the beings that you see make themselves known to all of us?
Well, they are in the process. As people attune themselves through watching their diet, it's like fine-tune the instrument. As I said, they're broadcasting constantly. More and more channels are opening up. More and more people are becoming clairvoyant, clairaudient. They see, they hear. There'll be, and a lot of times where people will see ships up there and a crowd of people, but the rest of the people won't see it. That's partly because sometimes the ships will tune to that person, or just because the crowd, other people, their diets are atrocious. They're eating off, they're treating their body like a cesspool and not really, you know, opening up to their frequencies. And there's various other mitigating conditions and circumstances that may influence whether they are ready to see it. But I think more and more people are going to be experiencing. There's more sightings going on all the time. You know, most people, how many people look up the night sky? You know, and even during the daytime, sometimes there's things that are being seen. So keeping yourself attuned to, keeping yourself open with the desire that the reason you want to encounter and experience these beings is it's not only because you'll know that we're part of a galactic community, you want to have that experience be a catalyst for helping everyone else on the planet. I think that's a higher priority, being of service, putting ourselves in a state that what we do will help empower everyone else and help release the planetary quarantine all that much sooner. So it's a every person's unique. Everybody is a work in progress. So whatever you can do to get yourself attuned at this time and get ready for the big moment coming up, the better you will be, the more ready you'll be, and the better you'll be able to prepare everyone else too. And ultimately, you will see and experience ultimately, and you'll have that ultimate miracle that many people desire. But if your physical bodies are toxic and they flip the switch, and when time comes to beam you up, they don't want to create discord to your body, because certain toxins are conflict to the higher frequencies. They want to be able to beam up your body. Your temple is able to handle the frequencies.
Mm-hmm. Okay, another question from chat. Don is asking, Visita, or the Grays, warn of terrible pole shifts. She said, this preparation you speak of, will that allow us to avoid the mass horror of that? Is that what you're kind of referring to?
Well, first of all, anything the Grays say to their abductees, I take in, I don't take too much, and because they put a spin on everything, when they make some of the abductees think it's somehow a great, wonderful experience. Actually, what I understand, in the last 30, 40 years, the original gray aliens have all basically been cleansed out of the heavens, either because they became fifth density and they're part of the Federation, or most of the gray abductions are clone grays that the government has been. A lot of these hypnotic regression experiences where people have been abducted, they talk about some military person standing in the background. That's because they want to make sure the clone grays, that their whole plan was to eventually create an invasion scenario. So if they could cram the grays down our throats and show all this evidence, see, all these people are being abducted under hypnosis, but there's been many cases also where human-appearing beings have intervened in some hypnotic cases to rescue the personality of the abduction. Now, that's not according to plan, so they have to make sure that those things, people like Bud Hopkins and others who are agents of disinformation who pretend they want to help the abductees, but they always withhold any information that comes out during these regressions that does include human-appearing ETs. They want to keep that all secret, of course, that these beings could intervene and stop the abductions. But in cases where they see some military person standing in the background, that's some black op agent making sure the grays, these clone ones, will go along with the agenda that they're programmed to do, and they want to bring it up to an abduction. So what we have to do is become cognitive aware enough that we can discern what the government has been up to, and that's why the agenda is to suppress those benevolent ones who can empower us while stuffing the psychop stuff down our throats. And we have to see things that these beings thrive on fear and terror, false evidence being real. They thrive on fear, terror, and surprise. If we can expose their agenda, then it's like a house of cards. They all fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
So there is going to be an axis shift, I believe a small one, after the final third wave. But I don't see it as a horrendous, massive loss of life and to the degree that originally in the first timeline. I think the grays are... those that they're talking about are some old information coming from the old timeline that perhaps it maybe it happened in that way. I think there was martial law and a lot of other things that happened, but the new timeline is going to be a lot smoother. So what source of information are we communicating with? Who's giving the information out? We have to be very discerning. Challenge it in the Christ frequency. That's a cosmic security code that the grays can't stand in normally. When you demand your sovereignty and say, I'm only going to allow, whether it be human or galactic or interdimensional, beings who care about me will uphold my sovereignty. That's the bottom line to me.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, you're saying the truth is going to be revealed very soon.
Yes, on a mass level. So even corporate media, I was told, Corton told me, beings like Ramirez and Andromeda, excommunication specialists, that when the day arrived, they would make their appearance, they were going to broadcast over major media, like they did in 1977, called The Voice from Space, where they came over British networks and broadcast 5.5 minutes about an anti-nuclear message about how they had humanity had to get rid of their nuclear weapons. And that was a little demonstration of what they would eventually do on a mass level, where they would show us the real truth versus what the corporate agencies had been showing, like divide the TV in half, show one version, and then show us the real deal. And people know when they get hit in the solar plexus. They know the truth when it's really shown them versus the manipulated version. That's why it's important for people to develop your channeling ability so you can discern, so you can know. That's why I do these transformational channel readings, because the effect of this is to help you also be able to plug into the circuit and start in turn impacting everyone else as well.
Mm-hmm. We're running out of time, but I've got like a bazillion questions. You're talking about the three waves. Are we going to be aware as they happen?
Oh, yes. Even though it's a secret in the sense of time, It's not secret when it occurs, nor is it secret now because I'm talking, as I talk about in my book, it's always been a plan. They're just not going to give an exact date. Like it says, no one knows the exact hour time of the day because it's cosmically top secret to throw off the cabal from interfering. And even then, after it occurs, they're probably going to say it's an invasion to fool everybody with fear, you know. But it's all a series of waves because, unlike the old emergency evacuation, as was said, people didn't have time to prepare. As now, we have a few years before, or a few months since, at least, before this event takes place. That's why I published my book. I had to wait years. I knew I was going to publish a book, but I had to wait literally decades until finally, in the last year, year and a half, that I came out with the book. And now, since being on the Coast to Coast show, of course, it's, I'm being inundated with people who are really, many of them said to me, you know, I felt the same thing. They felt the same thing. We're getting the same information, except the book gives a little more detail, in some cases, as to what is going to be happening.
Okay.
And I can give an 800 number out, too. For those who would like to get more information on transformational channel readings, and Aurora is also a health medical intuitive person. She does these health readings to help people get more in touch with their physical self. But if you call 1-800-422-0808, again, that's 1-800-422-0808, and the number is also at the website, prepareforthelandings.com and channelforthemasters.com. And for those who would like, you know, all the information is there as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's some really good information. A lot of things are going on that maybe a lot of people didn't know about, you know, because they're not overtly going on. But listening to you, there's some good stuff there. Your readings are good stuff. And I wish we had more than an hour to talk about this, because...
Well, I'd be open to coming back at some point if you're interested.
Yeah, you know, people are relating to what you're saying, and I think if there's something out there, we need to know about it and what we can do about it. And like I said earlier, not worry about becoming alien stew. Just doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun or a good place to be.
They're going to come out with some negative movies this year, I've heard, that, which all has to do with the alien invasion to try to keep people in fear. You tune into your inner self. You'll know that, you know, beings have been coming here for millions of years. The Earth would have been destroyed long ago if they had so many negative entities. There have been a few, but most of them are benevolent and want to help this planet. As long as you want to help yourself and you uphold the sacred principles, it's pretty much of a cosmic no-brainer that they will reach out to help you when you're ready and you really are just pure. Those are the ones who are going to get the help.
Good. Well, you know, help is a good thing, and we all need it in some form or other. And I think for those who aren't too sure about it, you just kind of have to sit back and wait. But your book is a good place to start. Your website, again, I think you should give it for people to go and learn a little bit more.
Yeah, prepareforthelandings.com, and then also channelforthemasters.com. Those two websites can... You can find out, and I also have some great DVDs there. I prepare for the landings that teach you how to channel, teach about the who's who in the cosmic directory, who some of our friends are on the higher levels, and it's really wonderful to reconnect with them, too.
Good. Well, thank you, Michael, so much for being here. I really do appreciate it. It's been informative, and yeah, we'll have you back and get into some more of this stuff as time goes on.
Well, thank you, and as we like to say, keep your eyes on the skies.
There you go. That's a good thing. I'm doing that now, and that's why I saw that damn trail that scared the heck out of me. But anyway.
Well, good things up there, too.
I will keep looking. Yeah, absolutely. All right. I want to thank everybody also for listening in tonight and for your great questions in chat. And until next time, everybody, blessed be and merry meet again. Good night.
Hey, gang, Stirring the Cauldron. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
This has been another edition of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for another great guest and more fun. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2009.